Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him another hand clap. He is present in this place. He is here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I hope everyone had an awesome week so far. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. God is good. He is so good. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to bring you the grace at your place. The grace at your place. We will be reading from shortly Genesis 26, 1 through 3, and then 12. Yeah, praise the Lord. God is so good. When I hear the word homesteading or homestead, I think of an article I heard or read going off the grid. People selling what they have now, going out west or buying a property, even around here, maybe North Carolina or some in Alabama. But homestead, to have a big dream, the big dream, to only find out that it is not as easy as they thought. Some have had water issues, soil issues, flooding issues, ground being too rocky, shelter issues. There have been many who took their loss and went back to their careers. But there have been a few that stuck through the hard times, bust through some rocky ground, dug a little deeper to taste the fresh water, put up some windmills, you know, build some raised beds, and wasn't afraid to ask for some know-how from some neighbors that left some markers or maybe some memorials of what they have accomplished. You know, scripture, Genesis 26, 1 through 3, verse 12, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine, and that was the day of Abraham. And Isaac went up to Amalek, the king of the Philistines, into Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Verse 12, "Then Isaac sowed in the land, and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." Isaac, you are about to be blessed. There is grace in your place. God loves you. Sister Candy, God loves you. Sister Tabitha, God loves you. God loves everyone in this room. He loves me. Look in the mirror and you are a living, breathing miracle. We are a living, breathing miracle. It seems so effortless to wake in the morning and smile and say good morning and feeling so refreshed. That is a miracle. Yet scientists are still unsure of what causes a person to fall asleep. and to wake up just refreshed. Within your mind is a network of neurons that resort in five senses through which we are taking this world. You sight, you smell, you taste, you sound, you touch. Twisted all together in a central nervous system, and you are a very small size, but you can distinguish between hundreds of colors. If I took a box of crayons right now, one of the big box of crayons, not a small box, but a big box of crayons, and just dump it out. If anybody in this room could distinguish between the colors of the crayons, you can discriminate between as many as 10,000 smells. You walk into a pizza joint, I think we can smell pizza. You know, you walk into a Mexican restaurant, I think we probably know the difference between the food. But your skin is so sensitive, it feels the brush of a soft feather. Your hearing is so perfect, but you can hear the faint rushing of a breeze. In the south, we have these little black gnats. I mean, you can hear them get close to your ear. I mean, it's, you know, we know God is so good. The average human body contains enough software to kill the fleas on an average dog, carbon to make 900 pencils, potassium to fire a small cannon, enough water to fill a 10-gallon aquarium. But you have the right stuff to make it. God gave us the right stuff to make it through any situation we come across. God designed us that way. He designed us to be regenerated. He designed us, I like to say, recharged. You know, the time it takes me to make this statement right here is time it takes me to make this statement. 50,000 cells in your body will die, and new ones is being replaced. Your body is a work in progress. God designed us that way. You can make a new skeleton in about 3 months. You can form new skin in every month. Your body is consistently, is always fighting against bacteria and viruses. The tooth is the only part of the human body that don't repair itself. Think about that. God designed us to be renewed, to be refilled, to be fresh. He gave us a new grace every morning, by morning, day after day, from faith to faith, to glory to glory. Why? Because He loves us. The enemy want you to believe that he want you to somehow believe that God has gave you shortchanged you, or gave you the short end of the stick, that you are not loved. Adam and Eve bit into this lie. Esau slept up the excuse. Jonah rebelled. Elijah nearly gave up. The bottom line is that, does God really love me? Does He really love me? Yes, He loves us. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to us. Amen. He is the best thing that ever happened to us. I remember when I didn't have Jesus. Things just didn't, never really went my way. Before we go any farther, let's get this established. In the best of time, God is good. In the worst of time, He is still good. God is good. In the spite of my circumstances, God is good. In the spite of my hardship, God is good. No matter what is going on, God is always good. So we praise Him for His mercy. We praise Him for everlasting. We praise Him because He endures forever. In our text, God told Isaac to stay in a place that he feared. Isaac is a obscure man, an uncertain man in Scripture. He is the only son that is born to an aged Abraham and Sarah. He is the only one who was a most sacrificed. He's the only one who waited until nearly 40 years of age to get married. Much of Isaac's life, consider this as the reflection of his father Abraham's life. Abraham had to leave his birthplace. So did Isaac. Abraham almost lost his wife. So did Isaac. The Philistine was jealous of Abraham, likewise unto Isaac. Abraham remained childless for a very long time, so did Isaac. Abraham had a righteous son and evil son, so did Isaac. Finally, Abraham was tested with a famine, so was Isaac. But the oral law of the Jews, still to this day, observes that everything that Abraham did, Isaac went through the same thing. Children oftentimes go through some of the same things the parents does. And as you trace Isaac's life, you find him learning the same lessons as his father had learned. Abraham left behind some markers, some altars, and some wells for Isaac to follow. But if you think about this, what a great example it is for a parent today to leave some markers for the kids, some visions for your children to follow, some success stories, some records and victories of testimonies of the power of God. Don't give them just the stories of when I was a kid. Don't just give them those stories about how fast a Chevy Love pickup truck can go and hit a railroad track and knock the muffler system off of it. Don't give them stories like that. Not all the time, but give them the stories that really would help them grow. Stuff you've been through, you know. Let them take something to grow with. There is a brother, I won't say his name in case I get around, but I know who he is. But a few years ago, we were talking, and he told me that he took the book of Romans, and he took a commentary of Romans that written by Brother Bernard. And that's one of my favorite commentaries. But he took those two, the Bible, the commentary, and he read the book of Romans, chapter 1, read the commentary. Then he wrote the entire book of Romans with his commentary. I thought that's awesome. He told me one day he wanted to do the whole New Testament and give it to his children. That's something great. That's a great idea. That's what I'm talking about. Just things that will help them grow. Until the famine came, Isaac's life is a dim reflection of his great father's life. When the famine came, Abraham's day, he went to Egypt. Isaac was prepared to mirror his father's example by going to Egypt, but God changed that. God says, stop, stay here, don't leave, remain in this land. God broke the pattern. He showed us that there are no set formulas in the life of faith. He broke the formulas that Isaac was mirroring his father. He does not, what we can learn on the experiences of our prior generation for a while, and I preach many times, I use statements like, man, to remember our elders, and remember our elders, and that's great to remember your elders and things they have done, but there come a time that you have to eventually realize that God wants a relationship with us. Plant some your own memorials. He does not wish to how to us to lean on a checklist or how to's or how to have victory or how to have a miracle or how to achieve greatness. I have many books that tell me how to have victories. I have books on miracles at home. I have books on how to have greatness. But we can't always depend and have a checklist on how to have these things. We got to go out and have the victories. Worse, you know, in talking to the man in the house tonight, what sort of husband has a checklist that says, kiss the wife today, smile at the wife today, tell the wife you love her today, show the wife you love by taking the trash out. You know, stuff like that. The man has something, I'm sure of, but he doesn't have a relationship. He has a checkoff list. In a similar sense, God does not want to be a box on your checkout list. He does not want to be regulated to some religion. He wants to have a relationship with us, his creation. He wants that relationship. He does not want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. He wants to be the one you look to. It's the one you follow. He does not wish to be your GPS, but he wants to be the voice on your GPS, the direction giver. He does not wish to be an Adam on your do list. So Isaac heard from God. When the famine came to the land, God told Isaac to sojourn, to stay there, to inhabit it, to grow something on it. God told Isaac to remain in Gerar. The place had two strikes against it already. It's the place was going through a famine. It was surrounded by very bad people. But the third strike against it was that it, by some way, a place of contention for his father, Abraham. His father lived there in the place and struggled, only gradually earned a degree of a respect. Isaac was told to stay in the land. Isaac, picture that. I think Isaac might have pushed back. I would have. Man, you want me to stay where? You know, you want me to stay in this place? My daddy couldn't even make it in this place. And you want me to stay in this place? Come on, let's try something else. Let's fast about it a little bit. Did I really hear from you, God? I heard people say that one place is no more blessed than the other place, but I remain unconvinced on that. But God was trying to get Isaac to marry himself to the land. And only if he did so, God would bless him. He had to love the land. So Some run, some flee, some are like tumbleweeds chasing across the plains. But if God tell you to stay put, homestead the place. Sink some stakes in it. What is God saying here? He seems to be saying, I'll work in the unlikely places. My will. And we forget about that as people of God. Sometimes we forget it's God's will. Stay in the land. But there is famine in the land. The sky is empty. There is no clouds. The river has dried up. There is nothing. The well has gone dry. The job situation does not look good. The economy is starting to fade. Stay in the land. The marriage is getting rough. Stay in the land. My friend has deserted me. Stay in the land. There's friction on my job. Stay in the land. There are many problems. Stay in the land. Don't run from it. The Bible says a famine. People often run from famines because they have not received what comes from hearing God's word. A word from the Lord. When times get rough, we need a word from the Lord. I'm learning that. When times get tough, don't do nothing till you hear from God. Make sure you listen to the right voice. Don't move until you hear from God. Stay in the land. I will be with you. I will bless you. Facts are not always the truth. Line up all the facts that seems to justify a certain course and will give you one opposite all of those facts. When God says stay in the land, He is telling you to ignore the facts and rest on the simple truth that God moves in the unlikely places. Look at these men. He takes Amos from a sheephold. He found David in the back of a pasture. He meet Moses in a desert. He find Job in a trial. He met three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. He located Daniel in London. He escorted Peter from prison. He worked in surprising places. So Isaac received the word, but what did Isaac do? We will look at the scripture again. On verse 26:12, it says that, then Isaac sowed in the land, in the place he was afraid of, in a place he did not want to be at first. Learn to sow in a desperate times. Please notice that Isaac heard from God. He received a more sure word of prophecy. He stayed where God told him to stay, and Isaac acted on the word. He sowed in the midst of a famine. He sowed in the midst of a famine. When things wasn't going his way, things looked hopeless, he sowed. Please, excuse me. This was a test for Isaac, a test of obedience. In fact, the Jews still today know that Isaac's father's name was changed to from Abraham to Abraham. His son name was changed from Jacob to Israel, but Isaac's name was not changed. The Jews think because the Jews say this was because Isaac passed the test. He stayed and he sowed in the land that nobody else has wanted. He sowed in the land, gripped by famine, in a land of enemies, harsh climate. He sowed in the face of his enemy. He sowed in the dry land with no water. He sowed. How much faith did it take? Each handful of seed down. Faith. We need to take hold of faith. We need to start spreading that faith like you spread seed. Faith. Isaac had to ignore the dust around him. He had to ignore the ground that looked like it looked so rough and rocky. He had to tune out all the ridicule, all the joking, all these people that were making fun. He had to tune it out around him who did not understand the walk by faith and not by sight. Isaac had, what are you doing? Why are you sowing? And he said, because God told me to. You have to hear the voice of the Lord. Are you kicking up dust and warning what it is all about? Are you going through stuff in your life that you're just kicking up dust? You may be weary. You may be exhausted. But sow like Isaac sowed. Get the word out. Stop bearing some memorials. Start writing down some past victories. Start staking some stuff out. Don't just stay in the land. Sow in the land. Put tomorrow promises in the dry ground today. Plant some dreams, sink some roots, sow some tears, trust in God. He's the Lord of the harvest, even enduring a famine. Amen. Think about that. He would bless us in all circumstances. He would bless us when things look bad. Keep sowing. You will reap joy. I believe that. Be obedient to what God is calling you to do. It's doing the best of things in the worst of times. It's going for the gold when your heart feel like, just leave it. Anybody feel like that? Amen. Not just me. It's reaching for the prize, and when you feel like you're just in last place, keep on going. It's ignoring your surroundings and your critics and finding God in the place of it all. I heard my pastors make this statement many times. If I hope I get it right. I'm sorry. My head went blank. I shouldn't make this statement. Excuse me. Isaac, that is a lot of seed. So, reap. And so Genesis 26:12, the Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year in hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Grace yield grace yield the unlikely. In the same year, Isaac reaped 100 times over the same place as the famine, in the same place that he sowed and believed. Do you remember what Jesus said about the ground? Do you remember what he said about the ground? Matthew 13:23, but ye that receive seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60-fold and some 30-fold. Isaac received the maximum by sowing in a famine. God turned the desert into a paradise. Isaac said, Isaac went out empty, but he came back full. Isaac heard from God and obeyed. He broke with the tradition of his father, and he became the one to refuse to be discouraged. 1:23-25. I'm getting ready to close. Being born again, not corruptible seeds, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of a man as flower of the grass. The grass weareth, and the flower therefore fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. He wants to sow in our darkest hour, when we can't see which way is up and which way is down. He still wants us to sow. We need to trust and obey, and you will have victory. You can overcome your situation. You can find joy and peace in God. Do not doubt. Do not fear. God is working on your behalf. I mean, I believe that. I believe God is working on our behalf. Comfort come to those who mourn. If you weep, your tears will be dried. Amen. If you are persecuted, blessings are coming your way. Blessings is coming our way. There is grace in unlikely places, and there is a rose between two thorns. Think about that. There is a rose between two thorns. Amen. Hallelujah. Please stand. And let's just give God praise. And let's just open our heart to the Lord.